Quand y'en a plus, ben y'en a encore. Ecstasy, tous les problèmes, oublie la musique. Ça te prend les tripes, ça te prend la tête. Et puis tu pries pour que ça s'arrête. Mais c'est ton corps, c'est pas le ciel. Alors tu bouges plus les oreilles. Et là tu cries encore plus fort et ça persiste. Alors on chante. Alors on chante.
This year's Fall 2010 Teaching Fellows and Course Assistants. If we could, a big round of applause for them. Two of them in particular are graduating this year, namely the course's head teaching fellows, Yuki Yamashita and Jansu Aidada, both of whom have been with the course for 3 years now as staff. In fact, Yuki didn't start as one of our head teaching fellows. He was a teaching fellow in fall 2008, having just taken CS50 the year before, and he made the mistake that fall of being a go-getter and emailing me a nice and polite list of all of the typographical errors in one of the problem sets. But I thank Thankfully took this the right way and immediately promoted him to the position he's now had with Jansu for a couple of years, and it is because of Yuki Yamashita, frankly, that this course looks as pretty and as sexy as it does, given that he is our designer. So for Yuki in particular, a round of applause. So, if we do this right, Jansu Aidada is likely to shriek, because anytime she gets public recognition, she seems to do this. In fact, when she was herself a freshman in fall 2007, was when we first met, and I met her over one of the Annenberg student faculty dinners, and we got to chatting, and she was self-avowed one of those less comfortable, dare say one of those least comfortable, in her own words. And so, for some reason, though, this conversation caught my eye. She cared about CS50, she loved CS50. as 50, and even though she, like many of you, had stories about working in the basement of the Science Center till all hours, she nonetheless stuck it through. And now she is about to graduate as well as a senior, having been the course's head teaching fellow now for 3 years, the first, to my knowledge, to have started that role as a sophomore at the college, head of one of the largest college courses here. And for that, and for her leadership over the past several years, am I hugely grateful. So to Jansu as well. So even though it just is me that you tend to see or not see a couple of times a week, there are definitely a few other folks we'd like to thank right here from the get-go, namely the folks that run this course behind the scenes, besides the TFs, besides the CAs, besides myself. We have two individuals here, Chris and Hugh, running cameras every day. We have Barry in back. We have the Memorial Hall team downstairs, the folks in classrooms across the university, and it is by no means an easy feat to book some 40-plus sections this fall. So to all of you and to those behind the scenes, thank you all so very much. So, about that quiz. So, that was not the emotional note I really wanted us as a class to end on. It was admittedly a bit on the long side, but realize that as many times as we've said verbally in class and the syllabus and my email this past week, it really is one's relative trending in the course that we look to. And even though your percentage on something like this might not be as high as you would have liked, maybe not even as high as it was on the first quiz, that really is sort of immaterial to the progress that you've made, to the work that you've submitted. And in CS50, we really do pride ourselves on making it a very much individualistic course at semester's end. I really do have, this semester will have, some 500 conversations over email or in person with the teaching fellows. And if you read The Crimson last spring, frankly, if it were entirely by the course's choice, we would do away with grades altogether, since I think it's very easy to lose sight of what's really important in here. And so hopefully today, as we conclude this course, and you see where you began and where you're ending up, and just a couple of weeks hence, where you'll finish the course as CS50 graduates, hopefully you'll really feel that delta between week 0 and week 12. So with that said, let us forge ahead with today. You recall from week 0, if you shopped us, that we served up a little cake like this, back in the days when you were all noobs, so to speak, in week 0. We went through our problem set 0 submissions. Recall we did Scratch back then, and one of our shoppers actually submitted this story of sorts, which we thought we would begin today's retrospective with. So this is by former CS50 student Damon, and here we go. Thank you to Damon. So, speaking of phone books, we do seem to have an infinite supply. We thought we'd see just how much we've retained this semester if we could get a couple of volunteers up here to somehow involve these phone books. Any takers? Anyone? Yeah! Come on down very excitedly. What's your name? Oh. And who will match wits here with the second phone book? Give me one person. If we're not going to get anyone, come on down right here in front. Yep, second. So I'll take either of you, whoever is least. Okay, what's your name again?
Herb. Perfect.
All right, you of course have to be comfortable here on camera. What is your name for the audience?
Schwen.
Schwen?
Yep.
Here we have Schwen and we have Herb. The goal at hand is to find Mike Smith in this here phone book. Herb, you've been nominated to use linear search. Schwen, you've been nominated to use binary search, but in order to tear these problems in half in the case of binary search, you must literally tear, and even in the case of linear search, as you begin to search for Mike Smith, must you tear each of your pages out linearly. Perhaps as a group. On your marks, get set, go! So if you didn't notice, clever heuristic though it was for Herb to start at the end of the phone book is the yellow pages, which don't have humans. It's the beginning, of course, that starts with the white pages. But sometimes optimizations do not work out so well. So we started the semester with some noob cake. We will end the semester with some leet cake. In fact, thanks to teaching fellow Rose Cow, who emailed me at like 7 a.m. this morning after having emailed me at like 11 p.m. last night saying she was going to Maxwell Dworkin to decorate the cakes. The result is, as of a few minutes ago, not just this cake, but this cake and also this cake here. Unfortunately, these have now been cut into 450 pieces, so that's the last you'll see of the design, but there's a little frosting for each of you. Also being handed out after today, so there will indeed be cake in a little bit time downstairs in the pub as you guys exit today, but also being handed out, if you didn't request one already, are these so-called Shuttle Boy cards, or sort of throwback to old-school technology, namely a piece of plastic card that you can put in your wallet. Now, it wasn't really the plan to hand these out, useful as they are for the calendar year, at the end of the semester. This was the result of some production delays, whereby we were trying to save some money. We outsourced the project to a company in China. Unfortunately, I don't speak Chinese, so ordering generally amounted to my emailing Yuki, who does. Yuki would translate to Chinese, email China. China would reply. Yuki would translate back. I would accidentally leave it in my inbox for 2 weeks and then reply again. And then finally, did our several thousand Shuttle Boy cards come, finally. So if you already filled out the form online a few months ago, they went out by mail already, but the TFs and CAs will also have them downstairs. So now we have a little something special. You've actually seen now this gentleman before, so you can now put a face to the name. This is a first. This late last night, one of our teaching fellows received a submission via one of your classmates under a pseudonym announcing that he had just printed his own CS50 song. Let me go ahead and introduce this by saying in a moment you are about to hear Pranksta, aka CS50 song, by Schwintax. And Schwintax is releasing his debut mixtape tomorrow, 11/23, to the internet called Coin Toss. Check him out on Facebook or SoundCloud.com to download some free music. So I give you one of your very own classmates, Schwintax, and his take on CS50. Listen close here to the lyrics. The single will be available for download after today on cs50.net. So a quick look at what's ahead. So your feedback throughout the semester, annoying though all of those surveys are, do realize that the data is not for naught. We do absorb all of this data, fine-tune the course so that your descendants in this course in fall 2011 will hopefully benefit from your experiences, both good and bad. In particular, we are going to finally, after 21 years, exit the basement of the Science Center, which has never been a terribly fun place to spend the evening, and move ourselves, sort of physics style, to multiple undergraduate houses in the fall. We will bolster brain break as well, and so with CS50 students will come more food in some of the houses. So stay tuned for that, and we hope that enhanced with a few workflow improvements, office hours in the future, so where you can now see your successors in this course, will be all the more inefficient and all the more a social experience, much more so than cubicles under fluorescent lights have ever allowed us. Recall that last week we took a look at life after 50, specifically looking at some of these courses here, every one of which you can advance to after having only CS50 under your belt. If you missed any part of that week, realize we've chopped up that lecture into 10-minute segments so that you can focus on just one or more of these courses. Recall, too, from the handout, cs50.net/guide is the CS50 unofficial guide to CS at Harvard, and you'll see this little chart that tries to help you make sense of an otherwise unwieldy course catalog and navigate your way. This is not to say that we expect or are trying to convert all of you into computer science concentrators. We are trying to convert most of you into computer science minors, admittedly. But with that said, the minor requires just 3 additional courses beyond CS50. So even if you need a little bit of a breather this spring, if not a senior, do realize that there are so many different exciting directions to go in. And that's really what resonated with me after finishing CS50. It's very easy to sort of get tunnel vision and think CS is just about programming, and that can be. But as we said in week 0, it really is just a tool that you can use to explore networking and hardware and visualization visualizations and programming languages, databases, there's so many different directions. And especially for those of you considering a minor, even if your concentration is in the humanities, realize you'll still have a chance to get some depth in one or more areas of interest to you. So a very common question this year especially has been, what did Mark Zuckerberg take CS50? We thought we would answer this authoritatively with Mark's plan of study, so far as computer science goes, before he left this campus. No, he did not. So we perhaps should have mentioned that if your goal in here at Harvard is to start the next Facebook.com of sorts, you really want to start with CS51. Moving on to CS121 in theory, 124 in data structures, 161 in operating systems, 182 in artificial intelligence, and 91R is a research-oriented course. But we went back a bit further. Turns out that another gentleman who left Harvard a bit early didn't even take any CS courses. Admittedly, there was no CS department back then. These are the applied math courses that he took, specifically under Professor Harry Lewis, who you met last week, who has many fun stories to tell about Bill Gates' time here at Harvard. So there are your authoritative answers as to what those folks took. But now let's focus on you guys. So for PSET 0, recall you submitted a Scratch project. And just for fun, we asked among the staff, which projects did you find the cutest, the most amazing, really insert your own adjective there, and we did get a number of nominations, a few of which we wanted to recognize today. One of the submissions that was we will honor today as the amazingest award is going to go to the author of this here Scratch project. If the next time you're at some wedding dancing to that song, Nicole Bowman will have done her job. If Nicole is here, would like to come up and receive her certificate of distinction from CS50. Nicole? Yeah. Congratulations from the CS50 staff.
Thank you.
So another project that we would like to honor in the category of cutest is this one here. This one requires a little bit of interaction. Could we have a volunteer willing to steer this animation? Anyone staring at me? Yes. What's your name?
Oh, me.
Yes. Are you comfortable coming up? Travis? All right, come on up. All right, Travis. We have here the handiwork of one of your classmates. Directions will appear on the screen in just a moment. Here we go.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
Actually, I think the only thing you might have had to do is hit the space bar.
Yes.
Congratulations to Travis and to Sam Singer.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done. Sam, are you here as well? Sam? There we go. Congratulations. There you go. All right. And lastly, we have a new category as defined by one of the teaching fellows. This one goes in the super awesome category for 2010. And I give you this project here. The Super Awesome Award for 2010 goes to Kristen Logan. Kristen, if you are here. Congratulations from CS50. All right. Just a couple of more recognitions here. In problem set 5, recall that you were challenged with scouring campus for all sorts of computer scientists. Few of you indeed found a whole lot of them. We've linked to the galleries on the course's website, but ultimately the two sections that submitted both the most and the most on time were Matt Chartier and Yuki Yamashita's section. Receiving them on behalf of those sections here first will be Joseph, Paul, and Kristen, if any or all of you three are here. This is, of course, Joseph with Professor Stu Schieber. Joseph, Paul, anyone? Kristen? Okay. Very, very nicely done. There we are. All right. One. And here you go. And two. And three. And congratulations. And CS50 stress balls is what these are. All right. In the other section here, this fellow pretty much found almost all of the computer scientists on campus single-handedly because I don't know what's with the other students in this particular section, but you made poor Zach introduce himself to every TFCA and professor on campus. But Zach, if you are here to receive your section's prize, Zach, come on down. I will say, while he's up here, we did have to disqualify a couple of photos. Namely, this one was subjected to some staff analysis. We used the enhance feature and then saw quite a bit of pixelation there around the edges. But nonetheless, congratulations to Zach.
You know how hard this is by Mark Zuckerberg?
It is. So just two such recognitions to go. So in Peace at Six, this being really the only academic of these awards here, we had the Big Board and the Speller and your fastest implementation possible of a dictionary. It turns out that as of last night, those who ranked atop the list were these 10 folks here, which is a feat unto itself. I will say here, this is the first time this has happened, finishers number 1 and 2, it turns out they're not actually CS50 students. We did some investigation. It turns out these are some uber-zealous undergraduates who did ask us for cloud accounts, and we thought, go get them. Let's see what you can do with the cloud. Turns out they won. So we're going to go ahead and recognize instead our own CS50s, Joseph Ruscher. If Joe, you are here today to accept first place on behalf of CS50 for the Big Board. Joe, come on down. So that is still linked on the course's website if you would like to play around. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you.
There you are. All right. So lest you be feeling a little disappointed that you didn't make the top 10, realize that I didn't either. So I clocked in at 153, so my try wasn't doing so well. But thankfully, our own CS50 teaching fellow Ken Perino set a nice omega bound for us all here in 353, using a total of 5,661 seconds to implement his dictionary. So congrats to anyone above Ken this semester. In problem set 7, we had one last Big Board. This one, too, we realized there are some opportunities for exploitation when it comes to trading or simulating trades thereof. This is how the bulletin board, this is how the Big Board looked at the close of markets this past week. Michael Shen with $30 billion. Completely trouncing Zach. I mean, we're not even going to give a second place, given that there's an additional comma in Michael's there. Michael, you may recall from quiz 1 as having username DShen. So Michael, if you are here, we have a little certificate for you as well. Michael, there he is. Very well done. I should share one anecdote, which is, I think, because of a bug or lack of feature in the staff's implementation of CS50 Finance, we made the poor design decision of only using a 32-bit integer, the result of which is that I received a very nice note from Michael asking for a refund of the $20 million my floating point error cost him. So we did add that back to his cash balance. Congratulations. All right. So how did we actually get here? Recall that just 12 or so weeks ago, this is what most of you were writing for the very first time. 70% of you in this class claimed to have never programmed before, and we started with certainly something relatively simple, something relatively fun, Scratch. But if you now think back to the week after that and the week after that, realize the trajectory that you've been on all these many weeks. This was hard in week 1 of this course. You may recall having various bugs, having trouble getting the pound signs to print and such. And this was problem set 1, where you simply had to print some ASCII art, which if you now look back at your code, it's probably longer than the program needs to be now that you have some better programming chops, but it was also the first of several challenges. And if you haven't already, do take a moment to look back, even to grimace just a little bit, at the work you first did in the course, because really this is when we were only using for loops, while loops, variables, and the like. In the week after that, granted, we did introduce a sexier domain, that of cryptography, but at the end of the day, the program you submitted still did something relatively simple, still a blinking cursor, typing in text at the prompt, and then getting back some plain text or ciphertext with our Caesar and Visionaire ciphers. Week after that, we finally started moving into the realm of modernity and games, and yet we still were limited by ASCII art of sorts. This, of course, was the game of 15, but with problem set 4, did we introduce a library, the first of several libraries, namely this one was ncurses, and even though you still had to interact with your programs using but a keyboard and no mouse, at least now you were starting to find yourself perhaps in a domain, in a user interface a bit more familiar to you. Fast forward 1 week later, later and you discovered that it was indeed Professor Plum in the lounge with the candlestick. And this is very much a real-world problem, that of forensics and data recovery. The JPEGs, recall, were another part of that piece set. And thereafter, and this one should give you a bit of pause, especially if things like this were difficult at the start of the semester, realize that by problem set 6, you are implementing fairly sophisticated data structures in memory that are very easy to draw on the screen like this, but consider how difficult it probably was wiring these data structures together, getting all of these pointers right, chasing down all of those memory-related bugs with Valgrind, whether you did a hash table like this or a try like this, but certainly, even if you didn't make the big board, the fact that you were finally wiring something like this up in memory, using just numbers at the end of the day in the most simple of instructions is really testament to just how far you've come over these several weeks. And then, simply so that we actually end the semester demonstrating that you've not learned C, you've learned computer science and you've learned programming, we introduce, of course, PHP and a little bit of HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and SQL. And finally, do you interact with a more familiar mechanism, namely a browser? Finally, are you able to go in the 8th problem set to implement, my God, a 3-dimensional video game of your very own campus, including some of your very own friends. And again, think back to where we began, which was here. And that is, in fact, just over 12 weeks' time, all the result of what you've put into this course. To give you a sense, in fact, of just how much this latter context, that of the web, HTML, SQL, JavaScript, and the like, resonates, here is a chart that depicts exactly what kinds of projects most students have declared themselves as tackling for this year's final projects. Website is up there at the top. Tool, which is sort of an all-encompassing generic term we use. iOS for the Apple platform. SMS, Facebook game. Now, I'm being a little disingenuous here. So you'll recall perhaps that Brian Kernahan a couple of weeks ago cautioned against lying with statistics. In fact, I kind of am, given that I'm using what's called a logarithmic scale, using base 10 on the axis there. If we really present this data as a computer scientist should, you'll see that web, this World Wide Web is perhaps here to stay. A supermajority of you, up from 60% to 80-some-odd percent this semester, are tackling web-based final projects. But this, too, is really testament to the fact, especially when you have to respond to friends' questions as to what did you learn, what languages did you learn, that's sort of an immaterial question. It ultimately is about the ideas and the fact that we spent 75% of the semester in C is so that you have a foundation now on which to build with any language in this class or beyond. In fact, the languages being used for projects certainly involve some of those web-based ones, but there are folks using C, a language called Ruby, Java, Objective-C, Python, ActionScript, C++, and a few more down below. So you will see certainly come the CS50 fair what all of your classmates have done, especially if it's not a world familiar to you. Now, with that said, some of you might have seen this in section, but you can take things too far. You can take your enthusiasm too far. Don't do this. Okay, I wasn't sure how that'd go over. A little chuckle, interesting. The talking point here for this slide is, my note to myself is, we will share proposals on the course's website. This was my visual cue to say that. So no, in all fairness, given that there are 400-plus projects, many of them being implemented by individuals, some by groups, we will post, if you have opted in via your proposal, all of those proposals online, just so that you can get a sneak teaser of what your classmates are going to be working on over the next couple of weeks. For the first ever CS50 hackathon, we will be heading down the street to Microsoft. Some of you who tuned into Office Space with us might recall that they have a beautiful space there, very high tech, frankly. There's a lot of Xboxes, ping pong table, way more toys than we have here in our own buildings. They have a capacity of up to 240, which is good because on Thursday, 12-2, that is the last day of classes, overflowing to the first day of reading period. The plan is to be there around 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Food will be served multiple times, and the plan is to offer you a chance to really dive in by yourself or with your friends to your final project. Essentially, what we'll do at the start of the evening is challenge you to decide for yourself by 6 a.m. what would be a good point to be at, what would be a better point to be at, and what would be the best point to be at. Frankly, if my own experience and your own experience in the course is any indication, it's rare that you ever actually accomplish as much as you want in the allowed time. So we're all really going to shoot for at least exit exiting that morning, stumbling home with having accomplished something good. But you'll still have a week after that to continue your work. The TFs and CAs and I will be there in attendance with you. And then, of course, the CS50 Fair. A word on this. So the CS50 Fair, if you haven't been, is a large exhibition across the street at Northwest Science Labs. It will be adorned with plenty of food and music and balloons. Essentially, we'll divide the afternoon into three shifts. You'll find out in a week or two's time what shift you're in, one, two, or three. You'll bring your laptops. You'll set up shop according to the instructions you'll receive, and then exhibit your final projects to the people standing around you, your friends who have dropped by, to other folks in attendance. Last year's was attended by 1,000-plus individuals in total. This year, and as well as your classmates, well, we have recruiters from Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Disney there to just chat you up, see if you're interested in internships, see if you're interested in free stuff that they have there or full-time jobs. Also in attendance this year will be President Drew Faust, Dean Mike Smith, Dean Sherry Murray, and a whole bunch of others. So not to freak you out, it really is meant to be a very casual opportunity and a chance to sort of take pride in what you've accomplished, but it's also meant to be really the true climax of the semester. So now, oh, and with that said, to incentivize your friends to actually come see your projects out of more than just love for you, there will be a raffle with amazing prizes, which will include such things as the last year's Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, those kinds of things. So we will, if your text messages to them is not enough, the prizes will be. So now we have an opportunity for one last interaction. For this, we need at least three volunteers from the staff, three prefabricated volunteers from the staff. Want to come on up? But we'll need two teams as well from among the student audiences. Marta seems to be volunteering. We need, yes, you two. Now you want to participate. Okay. How about you two here? Three. And your friend is nominating you for six in total. I think, come on up. We'll divide you into two teams. Friends' nominations are binding. So come on up. Hopefully we have enough seats here. We need a head teaching fellow to run the scoreboard. Jensu Aida, very willingly. All right. And what is this advanced preparation going on? Okay, so we're going to have a little three-team thing here. And like too few chairs, it seems. We'll figure that out. So let's put the teaching fellows and staff over here, if you could. Do we need an extra chair or two? Yep, okay. Here's one. Need one more. Still one? Oh, it's like musical chairs. All right, one of you gets the piano bench. Okay. Oh, even better, even better. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and cue up the screen. This is a little tradition we have here in CS50. We kind of make up some rules as we go, fair notice. But we made a little website using our HTML skills here. Namely, I'm going to go to cs50.net. All right, so now if I have this set, let's try this. All right, very good.
And now, here is the host of Jeopardy!
Okay, that'll be me. And here we go into Single Jeopardy. So, the way this is going to work is kind of like Jeopardy, but again, we're going to make some things up as we go. We'll have a few rounds of questions, and then, oh, I guess we have two big teams this year? That's fine. Should we do that? Okay, so these four staff against these two, four, six, seven students. No, that's good. That's good. So, and Yuki and Jensu are going to be the arbiters here as to whose hand goes up first. We only have time for a few questions in each round because we do want to get to cake. But here we have in the coin toss beforehand, the students won the toss, which means students, somehow, if you don't yet have a leader, you're going to need someone to take direction here and take the lead here and pick a category.
We'll go week two for 1,000.
Week two for 1,000. Now, lest you all...
Week two
for 1,000. So lest you all be feeling left out, realize these are your questions. So those quiz review questions we asked you for, as you may have noticed, they didn't really make the quiz because a lot of these questions are like, what's three in binary? What's four in binary? So We wrote some of our own, but we did bring these here today. So I have here some week two questions. And when you answer, just be sure to speak into the nearest microphone for those playing along at home. So week two for 1,000. Your question is going to be, and again, raise your hand to be called on first. The question is, what will happen if you access memory outside of your array?
There's three more hands up.
Wait, it's not how many hands go up. Oh, the staff. All right, the staff has control. Marta?
You will get a seg fault.
You will, in fact, get a seg fault for $1,000. All right.
Just raise your hand.
Staff are in control here. What category would you like?
Week two for 800.
Week two for 800. Your question from our students here is going to be, your question is going to be, they're all like, what is scope? What is a global variable? What's a local variable? Okay, how about, where does malloc store data? Students!
On the heap.
That is correct for $800. All right, students, you have control. Week four for 1,000. Your question from week four is going to be, Okay, what are the consequences of a call to malloc without a later call to free? Students!
What is memory leak?
That is true, though this student put, you will leak memory, in quotes, for some reason. So, but that is correct for 1,000 in week four. Very well done. All right, what would you like next? What's that?
Week three for 1,000.
Week three for 1,000. So in week three, your question is going to be, which sort is fastest? Marta. Wait. Who? Oh, it was students. Students.
Each sort.
I quote, selection sort, I think. I'm sorry that the it's selection sort according to the answer key. So negative 1,000 for students. Yes, that's how Jeopardy works. All right. So staff has taken the lead by 200. Students, though, you're still in control.
Week zero for 1,000.
All right, we have time for one or two more questions in single Jeopardy here. Week zero for 1,000. Week zero for 1,000. And your question is going to be, your question is going to be, what does the word algorithm mean to you? Students.
An algorithm is a way of solving a problem.
That's actually pretty close. An algorithm is a process which you can use to solve a problem.
Yeah.
We'll give it to them. All right, last question in single Jeopardy. Students, you're still in control and in the lead. You know, I'm doing this randomly, so you could too. Week one for 1,000 is what I heard. All right, so week one for 1,000, your question, the last in single Jeopardy here, is going to be, what is the standard compiler used by C?
GCC.
Oh, students minus 1,000 because he said GDB first. And my team takes the lead again. All right. You can play that back again and again on the video. All right, now we're in double jeopardy. Time for just a few questions here. The weeks have changed to 5 through Rand. What would you like? Rand for $2,000, trying to pull ahead. And your question is going to be, what is GDP? Marta!
GDB is a debugger and not a compiler.
That is correct for $2,000. Oh, that did not go over well. Staff, you're in control. Time for two more questions.
Week 7, 2000.
Week 7 for $2,000. And your question from week 7 is going to be... Your question is going to be, what is one advantage of a linked list compared to an array? Marta.
You can add elements easier and faster.
That is correct. A linked list allows for easier insertion into the list for $2,000. All right, so that's $5,000 to $800. So let's go with the $2,000 question. How about week 9 for $2,000? And let me note, we have like 7 to 10 pages of questions for every week, except week 9, where you all kind of petered out, it seems. So week 9, your question for $2,000 in the last year in Double Jeopardy before we finish with Final Jeopardy is going to be, what does... Students! What is your answer?
Hypertext view professor.
What? Oh. Try again, keep trying.
Hypertext transfer protocol.
That's actually the answer of the question. The question was indeed, what does HTTP stand for? So now we have a piece of paper for you each. Hopefully one of you has a pen. Staff can wager up to 5,000. Students can wager up to 2,800. So you do have a fighting chance here. Go ahead and pick your dollar amount, knowing only that the category for Final Jeopardy is... All right, so you put your dollar amount down, as have the staff. Okay, no changing your dollar amount. Your question is this. All right, so students wagered all of it, 2,800, which will bring them to 5,600 and the win if the staff do not wager more than that and get it right. And they're extra time for the staff, apparently. Should I just read? No, that is incorrect, because the students did get it. This is, of course, Rot 13 for the win, and the students have indeed won! So go ahead and stay here for just a minute. We have one more song for you today before cake is served up in the pub downstairs. If we could dim the lights for this final moment... We give you CS. Well, you've never been. All right. Normally, you can't wait to get out of here. All right. This is CS50.
Another turning point for foot stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this task and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Thank you to all.